Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You're listening to Castrol CarCast on Podcast One.
Hello and welcome to CarCast. I'm Matt, the moderator, DeAndre. We got Bill Gober calling in again. Love that. CarCast, of course, brought to you by our friends at Dodge and Continental and Geico. Man, Long Beach Grand Prix this weekend. Lots going on this weekend. There was definitely more than one cocktail consumed at the track. But we'll get into all that stuff. Man, I've been following you and I have been chatting. I've been following up on your social media, on your Instagram. And, of course, you guys can follow Goldberg95 and Goldberg's Garage on Instagram. See the updates on the cars that are going on. And, man, this Speedcore carbon fiber Hellcat's looking badass. You got to be just antsy as can be on waiting for that thing to come in, right?
I guess the analogy could be a kid waiting for Hanukkah or Christmas or a crack addict waiting by the phone for his dealer to get him his next fix. Yes, I'm waiting patiently would be lying. But, you know, hey, man, you got to be patient. Well, good things come to those who wait. And, hey, each day I get more information on this car that makes it just cooler than it was before. So, Dave over there at Speedcore and those guys are, phenomenal. Ring Brothers comes to mind. I mean, those guys, they're so damn artistic. And if you kind of leave it up to them, you never know what you're going to get, but you're always going to be more than pleasantly surprised. So, no, I don't have it yet, but you will be the first one along with everybody else in the world on Instagram probably.
So you guys heard us talk about Speedcore before. I'm not sure exactly how to explain them. They're a tuner. They're a hot rod builder. They're a custom car builder, but they do a lot in the world of carbon fiber. And I think they have a facility there with them where they do all this great carbon fiber stuff. And we've seen the Dodge Charger, I think it was 69 Charger that they did. Very, very cool stuff. So much carbon and so much 3D printing. Like the pedals are all 3D printed, and it's funny because they'll 3D print stuff. They'll design it and 3D print stuff in different types of like a nylon plastic and different strengths and stuff in different types of plastic that you can do. They like 3D printed some pieces like for the pedals and the door handle surrounds and things like that. But then they'll 3D print stuff and use those as a mold or a template to machine the metal pieces as well. So the 3D printing isn't just a finished product. They'll use it as R&D for some of the more expensive machining stuff. And you can see it all over that Speedcore Charger that they did. And
template stuff. It's like what Waitis and the guys over at Magnaflow do with the cats.
Yeah, yeah.
The best way to describe Speedcore is that they are highly artistic and top of the line at their craft. But they have that. What sets them apart is their ability to, like you said, get these parts manufactured for a smaller manufacturer. They have their hands on machines that only large automated manufacturers have.
Right, because they're really expensive.
At their disposal. I mean, yeah, let's just cut right to the chase. Yeah, they have some extremely expensive equipment to allow them to put their artistic ideas in in 3D. So it's just bitching what they do.
So tell us again, give us an update. What are they doing to your car? You took a Hellcat. You took one of your Challenger Hellcats, and you sent it over there.
I took my 216, the Hellcat that I ever bought, the skinny tire car, as we refer to it. It only, you know, can have a 275 on the rear with 707 horsepower. Mm-hmm. You can't get the power to the ground. So very long story short, when you sit it next to these wide bodies, it's an inferior looking car. For me. So, and you know, it's 4 inches narrower. And so obviously you don't have the rubber to the ground. So I've always wanted to turn this car into something that I would enjoy looking at and also driving. So I handed it over to Speed Corps, and it started with just the wide body fenders. And it evolved to, now it's the wide body fenders and all of this is carbon fiber. Wide body fenders, fender flares, front splitter, rear wing, rear deck, hood, sides, like outer sill plate, not right. Sill plate, but outer,
yeah, like
trim on the lower. And, you know, let's just talk about the engine upgrade. So all the specifics will be put out there once I get this car back and can seriously look at it and see what's done. I mean, the paint job they did to it, they took the wrap off. They did the Dodge
the Chevron
symbol up in the front. It's just the car's unbelievable. And I got the HRE wheels on, the Nitto tires, you know, the KW suspension, the upgraded bare brakes. You know, we're going to have new injectors and new pulleys. And like I said, we're going to be pushing over 900 horsepower for it. I'm waiting for a dyno video on it right now. But it's a 6-speed, and I got a short throw shifter for it. And I got a handbrake being put in it. I called your boys from Sparco, and I got the carbon fiber seats, hopefully.
Oh, that's coming. A great seat.
And I picked up a carbon fiber wheel on eBay, and hey, man, I'm going to town on this car. It's going to be sick.
It's going to be fantastic. It's amazing. These guys have done so much carbon fiber stuff. It sounds like pretty much everything except for the unibody, just the doors and the roof and the, you know, the A and B pillars are all pretty much metal, but everything else is...
Well, look at what they did to the complete carbon fiber demon that was at SEMA a couple of years ago.
Yeah, yeah. That's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting to do. It's I can't wait to see it, because when we saw some of their stuff in person on the cars that they built, man, the fit and finish is spot on. That's hard to do when you start getting into, you know, fiberglass and carbon fiber pieces and, you know, hoods kind of bow a little bit and you know, the gaps are a little tough to get. And these guys did a pretty good job with it. So the quality of their stuff, I think, is excellent.
It's unbelievable. The fitment is absolutely amazing, man. And I've dealt with this carbon fiber, as you and all our listeners have throughout the years. And that's the worst thing you can deal with carbon fiber. Man, it's just it's gorgeous. It's all OEM casting, pretty much. So I mean, they have all the. They have all the equipment at their disposal. It's unreal the quality of work that they do. But you know, hopefully I get. Hey, there's a slight chance that I can get it back, take it for, you know, some test and tune, and then hit this shift sector thing at the end of the month and see what it does in the half mile.
Yeah, so that'll be interesting.
I'm trying to do a lot of things with this thing. I just got to get it back first.
I mean, this car isn't exactly like meant to go on a super huge diet, but I think between all the carbon fiber pieces and now you're talking about the Sparco carbon fiber seats, if those are the street seats, the SPX, I think.
Absolutely.
Those are so fantastic.
They're awesome. Do you have those?
I do. So, you know, a few years ago now, in 2016, I brought two of the Mustangs. I brought my two Mustang Cobras to SEMA. I brought the red one, which was kind of like it was done like all the pieces were put on it. Nothing was locked down correctly. Like, yeah, like nothing was torqued down. It was just, yeah, and it didn't even run. But we had that there in the Magnaflow booth outside. And, you know, we had the custom Bond Speed wheels from Brad Fanshawe, and we had the Pro Charger on it. That one was done. But inside in the Takiko Shocks booth, we showed, I took the 90, my other car we haven't talked about in a while is the another 93 Mustang Cobra. It was the unibody, but it had a Coyote engine in it with a Borla 8-stack injection on it, and we showed that off. It had a full maximum motorsport suspension. It had Brembo brakes. It had a 6-speed Tremec conversion in it. And it had an independent rear suspension system from a 2003 Mustang Cobra as well, so no live axle.
Nice.
And then we had Takiko shocks on the whole thing, and it had the very first pair of Sparco SPX seats, the carbon fiber seats in the car. Again, you got to imagine this car. There's no hood, no roof, no doors, no fenders. There's nothing. It's just a unibody, but with all the mechanicals bolted onto it. And we just put the seats in there. And I wanted the seats to be in blue leather. It's like it's kind of like the Daytona Stitch, like kind of like the Ferrari Daytona Stitch, but without the holes on the SPX seat. And I wanted it in blue leather. And the guys at Sparco in Italy, they like our guy here, Warren. Warren is the general manager here in the U.S., Sparco USA. Such a good guy. We've been working with this guy for like 10 years, working with him. And I said, you got to help me out. We got to make this thing at SEMA. We got to make it a little bit different. I want to go with kind of a blue, like a blue-gray, a color very similar to the blue Lamborghini Miura SV that we had here, and had like blue-gray interior, which is so nice, such a great shade of blue. And they said, we can't get custom leather done in time. And they said, we just can't source it and get it. And I was like, oh, what can you do? And he made some calls, and they figured out that they were making the seats. Sparco was making the OE seats for, I want to say, the Alfa Romeo 4C, the new Alfa Romeo, the little sports car. And in that lineup of production, they were offering, I don't even think here in the U.S., maybe just in Europe, was this beautiful blue-gray color, very similar to what I was looking for. So they went to the Alfa Romeo assembly line, they pulled leather off the assembly line, covered the Sparco aftermarket seats, sent them over here, basically like, I don't know, like overnighted them, but whatever, 2-3 day from Italy. I got them here. They were in Sparco's office. We went down. We picked them up. We put them in the car. We sent the car over to SEMA. And we've got the seats. When I get back on that car, it's the only pair of blue leather ones ever. And those guys were so good. I said, hey, when we finish the car, I need to match the leather, you know, like the door panels and stuff. So when they sent the seats, they sent over a box full of extra leather. The same quality. Beautiful. Leather, same color. I was like, you guys crushed it for me. Thank you so much. They did such a great job. So those seats looked sick at SEMA, man. All full carbon fiber back. They're full carbon seat with this blue leather on it. It's going to be nice.
Okay, but here's the problem, man. Are they – I don't want to get – you know, I don't want to hurt your feelings, but are they made for little guys?
Yeah, I think
that's
so.
That's the problem. There's the problem.
Yeah.
They're beautiful seats.
Yeah.
Absolutely gorgeous, right?
Yeah.
That's the car like nothing. But I know when I go to the showroom and I sit in it, it's going to, I mean, obviously you want to be tight in a race seat, but these are street seats. You want a little more comfort. So I'm just praying to God that, I don't know, I lose some weight or they get mysteriously bigger before I get in there.
You know, I tell you what, though, these seats of they had a number of different street seats out there, and they do sort of have narrow versions and wide versions. And I wouldn't say this was particularly a wide version, but it's meant to be as accommodating as it can with one seat style because of the carbon fiber piece. There are definitely far tighter seats that you wouldn't even be able to get in. They're just too deep and too narrow, and you'd never be able to fit your shoulders in there. I think look, it's still going to be tight, but that's the nature of basically a racing car, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I think it's going to be interesting. You might be okay in it. So you didn't get a chance to get over to Sparco and try them out, right?
Not yet.
No. Yeah. Well, I guess if you don't like it, yeah. Let me know. Let me know. I got another Mustang Cobra. I got a pair of seats in that. I got different seats in that. But I like these other ones so much, I might do something. Might do something there with it. All right, let me tell you about Continental. We'll tell you a little bit about Continental belts. You've heard us talk about this before. If you think of the weird things that you find in cars, and I'm not talking about French fries or melted crayons. I'm talking about live snakes, bizarre trinkets, the stuff that really makes you wonder about folks. Well, another thing that may make you wonder are about Continental belts, and I bet you didn't know that they're OE in millions of Chrysler, Dodge, Ford, BMW, VW, and GM vehicles. And Continental has launched their multi-V belt with the OE pedigree. This is their OE technology series of belts. These belts are fanatically engineered for perfect fit, form, and function, and they fit 98% of the vehicles on the road in the U.S. and Canada. You can get one for pretty much anything out here, absolutely. Continental OE Technology Series Multi-V belts. These are the belts with the OE pedigree. To get the full story, check out oetechnologyseries.com. All right, so we cruised on down to the Long Beach Grand Prix. It's funny because this is like the second year now they don't do a pro celebrity race. And that whole like pro celebrity paddock area where all the cars were that was fun is now like a beer garden and like a little concert stage. And every time I walk in, I was like, where's the cars?
How is it comparatively? Because I know you've been down there with Adam a number of times. I did it. You know, I've been down there a couple of times. And that was such a fun part of the whole weekend, man. Well, obviously because I got to drive it at once, but I mean, it was cool.
I always did like the celebrity race. I thought it was so much fun to do. I miss that they don't have that anymore. You know, this is a couple years into it, and there's so much fun stuff down there as well. I mean, the celebrity race is fun. It's fun to watch, and I imagine it's great for you guys to participate. But things are moving along, and after decades and decades, it's no longer the Toyota Grand Prix of Long Beach. It is now the Acura Grand Prix of Long Beach, and you know, we've got a lot of friends over at Acura, and they were very so accommodating, so nice. They hooked us up with some hospitality suites and some great tickets, and so I went down Saturday and Sunday. I went down on Saturday with Adam during the racing weekend. Of course, it's Indy; that's the main event. But they have the historic racing. You know, I think they did Trans Am last year. This year was the IMSA GTO historic race. They do the stadium trucks out there, and they put the ramps up and they jump them on the course, which is great. And of course, the drifting goes on, and there's a concert series, but. I'm sure Adam and I will get more into the vintage stuff at some point, but it was great to see some of those cars down there. There's one of the Steve Millen, Johnny O'Connell 300ZX cars. Adam has one of the eight chassis. There's two of them down there. I think chassis number two and number four. Unfortunately, I believe the guy in number four damaged his car a little bit during the practice sessions earlier, I think Friday or so. So he had that thing loaded up on a trailer and already heading home. So that was a bummer weekend for him. But the guy in chassis number two, Craig Bennett was the driver. He and his family, I guess, own the car. They're out of RM Motorsports in Michigan. And he won the race. And in that Z car. So it was fun to see the Z car, and it was fun to see the Z car win. Great for us. And I love the Mustangs in that group, seeing some of that Whistler radar detectors, Fox body Mustang. If you guys see it with the red with the white graphics, you'll see it's very memorable. The Motorcraft Mustang was out there. I think it was a Willie T. Ribbs car. I might have had somebody else on it as well, how it sort of evolved over the years. But that was great. And I'll tell you, one of the most fun events to watch are the stadium trucks, because now they're just smashing into each other and hitting the jumps. And I think there's you can go around a jump, But I think there's a time penalty if you do. So they're really just kind of bumping into each other so they can hit that jump. They're hitting it two at a time. They never seem to land straight, so they just bounce all over the place. There's several practice sessions and two races. There was a Saturday race and a Sunday race. I want to say Saturday race, one of the guys lost his front wheel and like finished the lap on like three wheels. I was like, I don't know if he's digging into the ground, but man, it was fun up there to see some of that stuff.
Those guys are crazy.
They're so nuts.
Which makes for such great viewing.
Yeah. And by the way, like there's something about the racing here. It's just so patriotic. There's always, they're always playing, at the beginning, they're singing the national anthem and they got guys jumping out of airplanes with American flags and then the flyover for the jets. And it's like every time they do it and they sing that, like it gives me goosebumps. There's something so patriotic about it that I always love going to a live events like this. And we talked a lot about it last year. We're working on the NASCAR stuff for you guys and maybe NHRA for you guys. Because you just there's so much of the live event after our conversation last week, and then going this weekend to Long Beach Grand Prix, I was like, this is exactly what we've been talking about. Like, you got to go out to see this thing. The grandstands were pretty full. Long Beach, there's all the high rise apartments and condos that are there, and there's just people just all up on every single balcony, just overlooking the whole thing, and it's so cool to see. Let's see what happened was that was pretty much Saturday. We watched a lot of the vintage stuff, walked around, said hi to a bunch of people. And then on Sunday, I went over and talked to Bobby Rahal for a while. And we talked. It's funny because Graham Rahal was there and he was racing, and it was great to see him very quickly. He was kind of making a mad dash to get the car ready. And I sat down with Bobby, and Bobby just takes out his phone and we're just going over like vintage Porsche stuff, like the Porsche 935 stuff and the Apple computer car. And he's like, yeah, I was, look at this. He's like, how's the collection? You guys are doing so good. I was like, yeah, how are you? And he's like, yeah, I'm good. He was just kind of hanging out, being a dad, being a team owner, just having a great time. And everybody else was frantic. The team was doing their thing and he was just kind of hanging out and having a coffee and checking everything out, which was great. I'm sure he got busy at some point, but it was nice to sit down with him and chat. Bobby Rahal he's been around for so long in this stuff and he's done so much. He's just always full of great stories and get so much history from him. And I love that stuff. So we went over and talked to him and did that. And then we went over to see Simon Pagenaud. Simon is an IndyCar driver. If you guys aren't aware, he's part of the Penske team. He's been here on CarCast before. He's such a nice guy. And I always reach out when they do the race. I reach out to him and his team and IndyCar. And they're like, are you coming by? They're like, do you want to do any meet and greets? You want to just come by and say hi to some of the people and check out the cars? And I was like, yeah, see if Simon's got time. And, within minutes, they're like, no, definitely. They're like, come by. Here's the number. Here you go see him. You go and you see him and he walks you through the car and he tells you what's going on. And I was like, are you doing any sports car racing? And he's like, yeah. He goes, I'm not sure how they're allowing me. He goes, but I run the Chevy powered Indy car for Team Penske. And when I'm not in that car, he's like, I get to run sports cars with Acura. And I was like, kind of crossing brands there. He's like, I don't know. He's like, they let me do it. I was like, cause you're the nicest guy out here, man. They're like, we want you on the team. We want you to go do these things.
No matter what.
Yeah. And he's like, I guess so. And he goes, I'm flattered. It's nice. So I think he went out, this weekend. It qualified fourth, which is fantastic. And in the race, he finished sixth, did well. And we were exchanging a couple of notes and stuff. And you'll even see some of his Instagram posts where I think they just went in with the car set up a little conservative. They probably should have been a little bit riskier and a little bit more aggressive on the setup. And I think he might have moved up a little bit. That's the gamble you take. Is there's so much strategizing in racing and everything that you never know if you're going to get it or not. And then you know, they've got the boost button. They got the push to pass button, which I love this idea. It's almost like a nitrous switch in the car.
I think everybody should have one.
Yeah, it's funny. Yes. Well,
maybe not. Maybe
not everybody, like on the way here and the way to the studio. There's a few people that should definitely not have it. But I think he said it. You can use it whenever you want, as often as you want, but you only get 200 seconds total throughout the whole event. So it's sort of the push to pass button. So we're going to get into this Graham Rahal story, but I keep thinking of the Fast and Furious movies when they're drag racing and they got the nitrous and the one guy hits it and there's like too early, son. Vin Diesel's like too early, and then he hits it later and he hits the, you know, and it's like, all right, it's actually like a little bit like that. It's a little bit of the strategy of when you're going to use the button, you know. But they seem to really enjoy it. Every time I talk to Simon, he's like, yeah, I'm going to strategize the push to pass button. So you had such a good time with those guys. I don't know when was the last time you've been out there. Have you gone out there to just check out the Long Beach Grand Prix, or the last time you were in the Pro Celebrity Race?
I checked it out a couple of times since the race, because the race was, you know, hundreds of years ago. But I've done both.
Yeah, it's a great event. They have the whole, like, they have the sports car paddocks going on in the aquarium area, and you know, you can walk up on the trophy trucks.
They've got something for everybody.
They really
do. It's a killer event.
And Saturday night, they do
engines and, like, you know, like race cars in any capacity, no matter what type of racing. I mean, well, they've got most of it covered, but. Everything about it is a cool event.
You're on the water. The weather is great. They do a big concert series Saturday nights. We didn't see it this Saturday. We had other plans, but I think it was a Cold War Kids was the band. Last year was Linkin Park. It was actually really crazy story because this was Linkin Park played, I think it was last year, just before he died. I forgot the guy's name. Forgive me on that one. But we were invited to that because Billy Gibbons from ZZ Top went up and played with them. They played some of his songs, and he was tearing it up. And, you know, we love Billy. He's a good guy. He's a good friend. He was out there at our Peterson Museum deal watching the Willie T. Ribbs documentary. He was the one jotting down notes about Willie's story. We're like, what are you doing? He's like, I love this story. This could be in a new song for me. And I was like, I love that. He's so influenced by cars, and we love those kinds of guys. So he was there last year doing that stuff. All right, so the racing was fantastic. The IndyCar racing was fantastic. Congratulations to Alexander Rossi, who won the race, and Joseph Newgarden was second, Scott Dixon third, Graham Rahal fourth, Ryan Hunter-Reay was fifth, and Simon Pagenaud was sixth. That was the lineup there. A little bit of happenings going on between Scott Dixon and Graham Rahal. I'll tell you guys about that. But first, I'll tell you a little bit about Geico. You know, everybody's got a to-do list. You drop off your dry cleaning, you pick up some milk, and now you can save hundreds of dollars on car insurance to that list, and you don't have to drop off or pick up anything. You just go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. So if you want some extra money in your pocket, this is the most rewarding to-do you can do today. Be sure to check out geico.com. Oh, I'm glad I got me some Geico. I needed it this weekend. I needed it this weekend. I'll tell you about that, but in a minute. But so Graham Rahal was in third, and he basically got penalized by I think in the last lap by IndyCar for blocking, which is interesting because blocking is on some level allowed in IndyCar. He went in. And then it seemed like it was a block, but it was kind of within the rules. And it's a little bit of controversy going back and forth between Indy and Rahal and Dixon. And it's funny because Rahal and Dixon, they're both fine. They're like, it is what it is. They kept saying that. They're both like, it is what it is. So when they went to Rahal and said, all right, we're going to penalize you for the block. And he's like, well, blocking's allowed, and it wasn't really that much of a block. And they're like, yeah, but when you break down the specifics of it, it kind of falls into the category of blocking. And he's like, all right, it is what it is. They're like, yeah, but that means you're going to get from third to fourth, so you're off the podium. And he's like, all right, it is what it is. I was like, all right, what can you do about it? I guess there's nothing really you could do about it. But a little bit of that, because we were watching the race, and we're like, wow, we were just talking to Ray Hall, and he's third. And then we look at the podium, and champagne's popping, and we're like, oh, that looks like Dixon up there. and like, oh, okay. So guess there was a little bit of a rule change. So never go by the finish line, man. You got to go by the official results. Anyway, good for Dixon. Bummer for Graham. Graham's been placing fourth, I think, a couple of races this season. So he's still doing great. Just kind of an interesting deal how all of these things sort of pan out. But it was a good race, man. It was so fantastic. It seemed like everybody was racing pretty clean the whole time, and these cars are so loud and sitting up there in the up in the suite. Thanks to Acura, they fed us track lobster, lobster and steak.
How was that? Well, hey, if any place is going to be good, it's going to be right on the beach in Long Beach, right?
That's what I was saying. I was like, hey, who wants track lobster? And people were like, really? I was like, let's just do it. It was actually good. I loved it. It was all good. I'm always down for free food. So just a great event, man. I would say if you get a chance, go down to Long Beach Grand Prix. I mean, it's a party down there. The weather is great. It was definitely a good breeze going on. It's a little chilly in the morning. They do the concert series at night, and we're such big fans of live events. So definitely go and check that out. And then I guess the guys are all going to be off to the next race, which is good. Let's see. Before we wrap some things up, we had some news we didn't quite get to. I think it was last week. I don't have all the notes in front of me, but of course we got our Tesla news, and they kind of missed the mark on their quarterly reports and had to lay off some people. And maybe I pick on Tesla a little too much, but I said it before. I like what the cars represent, and I think it's causing a huge movement. And I think. They were saying that sales are down a little bit, and the reason for that is bummer for them that sales are down, but it's good for us. Sales are down because of the added competition that's coming out, and we're starting to see cool electric cars starting to come out from Audi, and we're all excited about the Porsche, the Taycan, and stuff from BMW, and and Jaguar. We drove their I-Pace, and that thing was fantastic. And as you see more of that, we all get more options as car owners, as enthusiasts. We get more options in that respect. And I guess Tesla can't be the only player out there, but
thank God.
But they still have got some work to do on their cars and on their business. And
well, what happened to that $35,000 model that they were touting, offering, talking about? It's right on the verge of coming out. Did it just disappear? Or did it not happen? Or
well, that's the Model 3, and the Model 3 came out, and it was more than $35,000. And I think they were trying to get it to $35,000. Not even sure if they actually hit the mark, and
So that's the one you're talking about.
Yeah, and I mean, it was nice. What I'm just saying is just like lock it down, and do what you got to do. I get there's growing pains, but you don't have to get out there with your press releases on Twitter and start yapping away at all this stuff, and then be like, nah, we couldn't make it, because now it's so much backtracking. Like, just get your ducks in order and do it. They had a little bit of financial trouble, and they wanted to close all their, not all of them. They wanted to close a good handful of their dealers, their retail stores. And then they realized, well, they've all got like leases and stuff on these things. So now they're trying to just turn them into like showrooms or charging stations or whatever. I don't know what the plan is. I don't recall what the plan is, but you know, but they had to kind of backtrack on that. So I you know, look, there's some really smart people working over there, and when you're the finance guy, you're the CFO over there, and you're like, we need to cut some expenses. What if we close some of the retail stores and start pushing things more online? And you know, the marketing guys, I love that, and the boss is like, great, I love that. Who down the line goes, what about all the investments we have in real estate and all the leases we have on places? Like, what are we going to do with those? You know, some of these are probably 10-year leases, and like, oh, well, what's it going to cost us to break all these things? Is this a smart move? Should we use the stores for something else? So we could pay the rent? Like, I don't know. It's interesting that we hear about it all in the public before the company itself figures it out. And it just seems like a interesting way of running a business.
Bush League?
Yeah. I'm trying to use all the most politically correct things because people are saying, hey, you know, every time you do Tesla news, it's never good. I was like, that's not my fault.
Well, here's the deal. In a day and age of opinionated news,
yeah,
what we're going to do here is state the facts, then base our opinions on that, you know.
That's it. This is what happened. These are the results.
I mean, we're throwing out factual information. We're not bashing them because we don't like them. People have to understand that.
Yeah. I like the cars. I think they look good, and I like what they represent. I think the performance is great. I just think they just need to handle their PR a little bit. Anyway, enough about Tesla. We'll move on to some Mustang news, because why not? I think we mentioned last.
Come on, man! I want some BMW news.
Yeah. Oh, jeez, my BMW. All right. First, I'm going to quickly
tell you. Keep putting people off. Is this like the main event of the podcast?
Oh, all right. Well. All right. So I'll touch on the Mustang news real quick because we teased it, I think, last week, and I don't want you to think we dropped the ball. Is Ford was saying they wanted to come out with a high performance, like entry level package of the Mustang, and by now, if you're hearing this, you've heard about the new Ford Mustang EcoBoost high performance package, and this basically has not just a you know, it's not just the EcoBoost, but with springs and sway bars, they're basically taking the Ford Focus RS engine with the stronger cylinder heads and the upgraded head gaskets that are on there now. They're taking that out, and it's not the U.S. engine. I think the engine's built in Spain. And they're bringing that here, and they're putting it in a hypo version of the EcoBoost, which I like. And it's going to be 330 horsepower as it sits in the Mustang with just a broader torque curve and the way, you know, the exhaust and the tuning and everything works out. 330 horsepower, 350 pound-feet of torque. They say that the car with the automatic in it, they tested it at 0 to 60 in 4.5 seconds. Now that's pretty good now for the little engine, right? And and you can, you know, the performance package will have 355 gears and the limited slip differential and the 255 series tires and the shock tower brace, and you know, it has the four piston calipers from the Mustang GT. And and I think you can even add a handling package to the high performance package, which gives you the magnetic ride, which is great, adjustable, a little bit bigger sway bars, and a 265 series tire. So you can get the EcoBoost high performance package, and then you could add the handling package on top of that. So now we got a couple more options, and I love that. I think it's going to be cool. And what's cool about it is if you're already tuning and doing upgrades to your EcoBoost Mustang, this is a little bit more of a stout engine with the upgraded head gaskets and stuff. So I think you'll be able to squeeze more out of this when you start getting into the modification. So anyway, so I like that idea. If you guys are looking for a Mustang but don't want to step up to the GT, or you want to do something a little bit lighter, or you have different ideas on how you want to use the car, take a look at that. It's going to be kind of cool. So my stupid BMW,
Here's the drum roll.
Yeah. Right. So, I went down to Irvine and picked up a friend of mine. I was like, hey, let's go to Long Beach Grand Prix. This is going to be great. We were getting in the car was running fine, drove it down to Orange County, and I picked her up, and I was like, oh, we're running just like a couple minutes late. We got to go meet with Simon, our buddy Simon Pagenaud. He's in between signing sessions and getting in the car, and I don't want to be rude and miss this. So we get in there. We get on the freeway. We're getting on the carpool lane. We're scurrying along pretty good, and at one point, the car starts to die down on power. And I see it kind of goes into a limp mode, and it's flashing lights at me in the dash. I'm like, God damn it.
You're still in the carpool lane.
I am. So we start pulling off to see what's going on. I just want to make sure there's nobody behind me. I don't want anybody. I'm starting to lose power. I'm dropping down to 50-something miles an hour. I just want to clear myself off, because if it does stop, I don't want to be that douche that's sitting in the far left lane blocking traffic and all that. My thought is if the car is losing power or anything, my thought is always just clear the road. I just don't want to be the guy that doesn't clear the road. So I get off. I start darting across the lanes as quickly as possible just to get into a safe area. But all I did was just shut the car down. I didn't even stop. I just shut the engine off, fired it up again. It did a quick little reset of the computer, and it seemed to be going there. We get to Long Beach. We park it in the parking garage. I'm like, I don't have a good feeling about this, but we've got some partying to do. So we go enjoy the event, and then go grab some dinner with our crew. We had some friends and stuff all meet us there. It was great. I get back into the garage, and I start it. It's barely starting. It's in limp mode, and lights are flashing, and I try it a couple times. I'm like, God damn it, this is not good. So my thought is, let me disconnect the battery for a few minutes to see if I can get more of a hard reset on the ECU. I was thinking, I'm going to have to tow this thing. I've already come to terms with that. I don't even know where I'm going to tow it to, but I'm going to have to do it. But I'm three levels down in a parking garage, like at a hotel. I was like, that's just going to be a nightmare. And I said, so I just need to get this thing out onto the street. And it's not even that late. It's 9 o'clock at this point. So disconnected the battery. Left it for about 10 minutes, hooked it back up, and it did do it. It seemed to reset the computer for a bit. It fired up. It was running smooth for a minute. I was like, let's just get out of the garage. And halfway up, it started balking and kicking a little bit, and the lights were coming back on. I was like, we're so close. Just get it out of the garage. It's like revving it high just to get the RPM so the thing wouldn't stall out. Get it out on the street, get like a block away. And I'm like, it's done. So there's some kind of ECU problem. This is the third computer I've had in this goddamn car. And we had to call AAA, and I had to get it towed, and I wasn't sure where to take it. And my friend Dave Jusko, we've talked about him a bunch of times on here, and I think you met him once down at the HRE show. By the way, another HRE show coming up in June, I believe.
June the 1st.
Yeah, I think we should all go to that. Dave's a super smart engineer. He's been at Toyota for, I don't know, two and a half decades, and his job is fixing things that seem unfixable when the dealers out here have issues with cars. He goes over there and shows them how to fix it and makes things better. So when the dealer can't fix it, he's the guy that does. And he's also an old school Toyota Supra guy. He's got a Toyota Supra. It's just badass, man. He just built this thing out, and just every attention to detail is amazing. I don't know what he's got in it now. He's got the engine all apart. He's rebuilding it. I don't know what he's going for, 600 or 700 horsepower probably at this point. But so we took the car over to his place. He's only 20 minutes away. He's super nice. He's like, don't worry about it. Bring it over here. We'll roll it up near the garage. And I've got as we're recording this, we're in the studio today recording this on a Monday, because I get to fly out to a New York Auto Show tonight. As soon as I leave here, I got to go fly out there. So I don't have time. It's like, hey, I need to stash this thing for a little while until we can get on it. He's like, bring it over here. He said, if he gets a chance, he'll pull the computer out. He'll open up the box. He's pretty good at this stuff. See what's going on, or is there bad solders or whatever, and see if we can't get that fixed. But I don't know. I'm starting to think at this point, I need to throw this computer in the garbage and go with a standalone EFI system. And that's what I was talking to Dave Jesko about is, I guess they don't completely throw the ECU away. You piggyback onto it, and the standalone EFI system takes over all of the engine parameters. And then whatever else that this computer does, ABS brakes and ties into things like that and whatnot. So you're not stripping the car of all of its of computer power, basically stock computer power, and turning it into a racing car. It still has all of the things that the computer needs to do. But when it comes to engine management, there'd be a standalone unit for that. And I think at this point, that's what it needs, is probably to do something like that. I'm not sure why this has happened a couple of times. But wherever I'm going to get this work done, it's probably I might want to change plans here. But anyway, that turned into 1:30 in the morning by the time I got home, because the tow truck driver, and he's like, I'll be there in an hour and a half. I'm like, really? Jeez.
Yeah, right after a race too.
Yeah, I'm telling you, it was a long day, long 2 days, and that's why I was we actually do prep a little bit for the show and send out an email and here's some notes, here's some ideas, and you guys didn't get it till this morning. So I don't know, crazy. It's just, just had some bad luck with the car. But look, the car looks great and it runs. When it runs, it's fast, and all the KW suspension.
I like
and the
how
HR
you amended
wheels.
That.
Yeah, yeah.
And it runs great when it runs.
Yeah, and it was funny because I hadn't driven it in a while. I had a couple press cars. We had the Jeep Trackhawk, and we had the Lamborghini before that, and the GTR, and so I haven't driven it in a little while. And I got in it, and I was driving it down Irvine. I was like, yeah, I miss driving this car. I like this car. I was like, you know what? That HRE open house is coming out soon. It's like, what a great event. Let me bring this car down there. We got the HREs on. I'll show it off. And here I am. I'm like, I have no idea. I have no idea what's going to go on now. Anyway, we're going to wrap things up. But I'm going to tell you guys about Stop, because trains can't. This is a message we want to bring to you guys. I know it can be frustrating if you're running late and you find yourself stuck at a railway crossing. If the signals are going and the train's not there yet, you kind of feel a little tempted to just kind of get across the tracks. Don't do it ever. Trains are going faster than you expect, and it can take over a mile for one of these trains to stop. And what used to be your car would just be a giant crushed hunk of metal. And what used to be you, well, we don't need to get into that. It would be bad. So if the signals are on, the train is on its way, just remember one thing: stop, because the trains can't. All right. So I just want to tell you guys about that. All right. So CarCast Show, check it out, carcastshow.com. And I'll be posting more pictures from Long Beach Grand Prix on Motorator. It's on Facebook. It's on Twitter and Instagram as well. And you see the vintage cars up there, a couple of Indy cars up there, some of the guys we met, and maybe even a picture of my lobster. I got to see if I got that in my phone. Some track lobster, some track steak. It was good. Thank you guys. By the way, thanks to Acura so much for hosting us over there. We really appreciate it. And looking forward to that NSX that we're getting in a couple weeks as well. And everybody over there was so great. And to IndyCar for having us down there. And Simon Pagenaud and Team Penske and Graham Ray Hall and that whole team, thank you guys so much. And of course, you can follow Goldberg. He's Goldberg and Goldberg Garage on Twitter at Goldberg95 and Goldberg's Garage on Instagram. Follow him there. He's going to be posting more updates on the Speed Core Challenger.
Go to the App Store, man. We have a beta version out of that new make model app. The car app that we're doing, man, and it's really addicting.
What do we search for in the App Store? Do we know?
It's called Make Model.
Make Model. All right.
Yep.
Guys,
yes,
check
sir.
That out. And we'll tell you more about that as well. We'll break that down and tell you about how to use that stuff on an upcoming show. But guys, thank you so much. And until next time, keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.
Okay. and stay out of your BMW.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit CarCastShow.com.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.